Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 78 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Brown, the man who's harnessed his ADHD to creatively think of ways to kill Alex, who has added apologies for the split infinitive into the script. I don't know what a split infinitive is, Al.
To creatively think. Shall we to think creatively, obviously?
Fuck off. Oh, was that it within 15 seconds? I just lost the sponsorship there.
Oh, dear.
I know. And as usual, I'm joined by the man whose idea of creativity is to swap from Radio 3 to Classic FM, Dr. Alex Connor. And the woman who thinks so far outside the box, she has to put her watch back 3 hours and live in the same time zone as flies, apparently. Mrs. ADHD. Alex, hi.
Ahoy, hoy, sailor.
Ahoy, hoy, sailor. Jesus. And Sam, hi.
Hiya.
That's what I like, see? Simple, not annoying. How are you both, simple, Mrs. ADHD, yeah. First?
I'm really simple. I'm all right, okay. Thanks.
Good. A lot of positivity compared to a couple of weeks ago when your life was unendingly bad, but that's good to hear.
No, I said to James last night, I think I'm quite sensitive to hormones, you know, and he went, yeah. I said, what makes you say that? And he said, I observe you every month.
It's kind of obvious. Alex, how are you? He says.
I'm excellent. Thank you, James and Sam. Really happy. Everything's going well. Podcast is, well, there's no logic to it, but people keep listening to it in their minis, even to the Thursday ones, which sometimes the numbers are higher than Monday. No clue why that is.
So just to clarify, how do you know those numbers? This is something that you know by using what your creative thinking, is it?
Somebody tells me, we've got a numbers guy, sends me text. Do you not get the numbers guy text, James? Do you not get those? Anyway, one of our listeners sent me a letter.
Oh.
Yeah, it's from a Robert from Kidderminster. It says, in your recent podcast on seasonal adjusted disorder or whatever, I noticed James didn't point out that he's usually sad in the winter because he's been rejected 37 times in a row for Love Island now, and that's when it's on the telly. He didn't tell us that, Robert. That's a good point.
Can you imagine how quickly I would be voted off that program? I guess they vote people off, never watch it, but how quickly I would be voted off that program?
I don't think you would be, James. I think you'd simply be rolled back into the sea by the beautiful... Yeah,
the beautiful, beautiful.
It's awful. They're beautiful people we hate.
Oh, really?
I would just go, fucking, I can't say anything, so I won't.
Sorry. Go on, James.
No, carry on.
Okay. Yeah, I've never watched it. Have you?
Maybe back in the day. Anywho, we've had a real letter. I'm going to read it out.
Go on.
It's from Elgin. I assume we've asked James. I didn't put this up. I discovered the podcast 2 weeks ago, and I lack the words to describe how helpful it's been. I was diagnosed with something ADHD adjacent, of which I don't remember the name of, when I was 5 years old. Oh, yeah, true that. Then I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was 18. I was basically told nothing. They just gave me Concerta and said good luck. I only started thinking about what ADHD was a year ago. I'm now 35. After getting burnt out at work and at home, I saw your podcast mentioned somewhere, probably read it, and been listening to it while working for the last few weeks. I'm some 30 episodes in, and these have taught me so much more than I've ever managed to figure out on my own after being diagnosed, one way or another, for 30 fucking years. Seriously, I don't have the words to describe how thankful I am.
That's nice.
Are we leaning into the monster thing then, Al? I'm assuming, by what you put in the script, which says, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. I'm a monster. Alex has a pure heart.
Yeah.
Oh, my my God, Alex, you know how upset he gets over that. You put it in.
I've literally had messages of abuse from people having a go at me saying, you bully that poor Alex. You're so mean. You're so awful. To the point where it's upset me.
It's literally the opposite. And
I know it is,
isn't it? Sam, I know how upsetting it is for James. I know how upsetting everything I do is for James.
That's why I don't think you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure you know what the whole motivation is here. Internationally, by some almost unbelievable coincidence, James, we're still seeing one country added to our diverse listenership. Although, I'll be honest, this bit is increasingly lacking in any objective truth. We're now up to 144 countries. I mean, wow. This is true. It's just much higher. The next one is Finland, which may or may not have been 6 months ago. So, oh, God, here we go. Heija tervetuloa. To our Finnish listener.
That sounded more kind of Pacific Islands than Finnish.
I mean, if
hello to anybody, you know, living in the Pacific Islands that does listen, and apologies for Alex saying something in Finnish in your accent. Okay, anyway, as usual, this 1980s sitcom about holiday camps, which really pushes the definition of the com in the word sitcom, it's a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last week was about SAD, seasonal affective disorder, and ADHD, and this week we're trying to set the record of most complained about podcast episode ever by talking objectively about something that's already been decided on TikTok and Facebook, apparently, and that is the question of ADHD and increased creativity or creative thinking. The three parts, as usual, include a ticker. Yeah, I didn't get that right. The three parts, as usual, include Alex, the psycho education monkey, making creativity sound boring, our personal reflections on the topic, and some top tipic. That's obviously a thing now on ADHD creativity, but also on how to talk about this very thorny topic. So, Alex, I'm going to go and create the illusion of listening to you while you tell us about ADHD and creativity.
That one's a hospital pass. Thanks, James. Oh, yep. This is an absolute minefield.
Auga.
I don't know why you said that, but I liked it. First thing to say is that we are not policing language today, apart from Sam's. We are not telling people anything about their own ADHD, again, apart from Sam, because she doesn't know. If your ADHD is a strength or you feel more creative because of it, congratulations. We wish everybody felt like that. From an evidence perspective, even the things we say based on science are still miles from proven. So nobody in the world is qualified to give a definitive answer on this. The difficult thing about looking for evidence that people with ADHD are more creative is that it is really, really hard.
Ding.
Ding. To even agree on what the word creative means. All neurodivergent people have thought processes that are different, thought processes that are different from average. So in that sense, we are by definition like creative, if you think about it. But if it means, like most people think, we are able to come up with new ideas or solutions more successfully than people without ADHD, that's where it gets a bit controversial. So the different ways to think about creativity, and this is just one model of many, such as convergent thought. So converging your thoughts, thinking of creative ways, but to use a pen still as a pen. Divergent thought, which is lots of thoughts that emerge from a single starting point. And conceptual expansion. So that would be creative ways to use a pen as something else.
Ding.
Ding.
Ding. Yeah. That is very much conceptual expansion, if you do it right. Most of the papers on this are, in fact, case studies. The problem there is that by looking at creative people and noticing they then have ADHD, that isn't super helpful. Also, asking a particular group of people famous for poor metacognition and famous for overestimating their abilities is also not massively helpful. Those that do show significant differences seem to be looking at certain traits associated with ADHD rather than often looking at people who actually have fully clinical disorder.
So are you trying to say that the studies you've talked about and probably other studies have shown that the impulsivity is sometimes creative, and so ADHD levels of impulsivity must be like really creative?
Well, yeah.
So why didn't you say that then?
I like the words. Shush! So here's the kicker. Shush. And I've got, I have to apologize for this next sentence. There isn't really any strong evidence for changes in creativity in people with ADHD in general. Sure. I'm going to get some complaints. There are some studies that show we are more likely to come up with ideas for immediate reward, obviously, and others, papers and studies saying we think we are more creative. There was a study asking people to think of different ways to use a belt or a book or tin can or some towels. Ding, no. Unless you offer them a reward and then they would come up with more, like immediately, here you go, have some money, and then we can. We're like, then we'll absolutely hyper-focus on it. But that's more about triggering ADHD motivation than actual difference in creativity itself.
I really should have edited this script, shouldn't I really should have edited this script because we're already 4 hours in and we probably lost, I'd say, a good 90% of our listeners. What about other forms of creative thinking, Al? Because you mentioned three types.
You're very impatient, James, as opposed to patience, spelt a different way, which you haven't got because you're not a proper doctor. One meta-analysis, that's the comparing everything, of case control studies of divergent thinking, that's lots of stuff from one starting point, showed that divergent thinking isn't impaired with ADHD or by ADHD meds and may possibly be enhanced in the domains of originality and flexibility. Unfortunately, they said that all of the studies were of, and I quote, low quality. Sorry, researchers, not your fault. We need to fund
I do like that that kind of that suggestion that it could be enhanced in flexibility when flexible thinking is obviously one of the executive functions we don't generally have, most of us with ADHD.
I know. So we're back to that really important factor that you just summarized in one sentence, James, about much of the evidence linking creativity, especially divergent thinking and ADHD. So although there was a correlation with creativity, it seems to, again, to be more about some ADHD symptoms rather than higher in people with actual diagnosed ADHD. Why is this important, you would ask, if either of you were listening whatsoever?
We were not listening.
I'll tell you why. Because maintaining... this is why, and we're going to do a whole podcast on this in the next episode. The traits of ADHD, the traits of them, impulsivity, a bit of hyperactivity, in the entire population of all of us is helpful. It's useful. It's important for humans. But that means some of us have too many of them to a point where it stops being helpful. So rather than the actual ADHD people being the super creative hunters and in the hunter-gatherers, it might be that we're actually taking one for the team so most people can have a normal amount of these useful traits.
Hunter-gatherers. You're a hunter-gatherer of people in your woods, aren't you, Al?
Well, are we still going with the psychopath thing?
Yeah.
I'm not a psychopath, I've checked. Probably the most interesting question is whether creativity in ADHD, if it is different or better, I just threw my pencil excitedly, impulsively. If it is different or better, is it due to the brain being different as part of the biological, neurodevelopmental biology of the brain, or due to growing up with ADHD in society for 30 years? For 30 years, James.
Right. So this new joke has crept in. During the talks I'm doing that I never talk about, I'm 47, Alex. You know this because you're like a month older than me. And the 30 years reflects on my adult life. That's 30 years. So,
yeah, 30 years. It's 300 years since a vampire bit you, though, isn't it? When you were 47.
Still leaning into that, then. Brilliant.
Living with a brain that can't do things the way lots of people can, and therefore sort of being forced to think of new and strange way to do things. Is that creativity? Many of the aspects of ADHD that are worse than average are also required for creativity, as James just said. Reduced flexible thinking, the basal ganglia, the some of these cortex regions. The take home, really, and please write to James at something@ADHD.gmail to complain, is there isn't any strong evidence that people with ADHD are more creative than people without. People with ADHD either seem to estimate their creativity more highly, or here's the good one, attribute their own personal creativity and strengths to the ADHD, blaming it instead of saying, well, I worked hard to become creative. Creativity is a human characteristic. It isn't an ADHD one. And we all, as a population, vary wildly in how we are creative.
Well, that was wildly awful, as always. Yeah. We'll be back in part two for personal reflections. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Right.
Welcome back to episode 78 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we're talking about ADHD and creativity this week. This is part two, where we're back with personal reflections. Gretchen!
She nailed that again, hasn't she? Yeah, well, yeah, no. That's true. Yeah, not fully nailed it.
Oh.
Who's going first?
James.
Thanks, Sam.
Professional as always.
Interesting. So, obviously, I don't see many positives in myself in general, whether it's related to ADHD or anything else. One of the few positives that I allow myself to accept is I'm good at thinking, is that I have a level of intelligence and I'm able to, talk about lots of subjects at a very base level. It's good if you haven't got social anxiety and are able to talk to people, because you can hold a conversation pretty much on any subject at a low level. But I have got social anxiety and therefore I don't talk to people. So what I think I'm good at is thinking very much inside the box. And that is seeing obvious answers that others maybe don't, because they are either thinking outside the box or trying to overcomplicate something that's very simple. I'll give you an example. When I was working as an academic, and there was a very short time to set up a new module, and it had to have a practical. Everyone was worried about, well, we haven't got space in the labs, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd done a similar practical a couple of years before, and just said, well, we can do that one. It's the same level, it's same topic, and it solved the problem. But it wasn't thinking outside the box, because it was something I'd previously done. And it's that type of spotting the bleeding obvious and applying it to a situation where maybe others wouldn't, that I think I'm quite good at. In general, I don't have a creative bone in my body, I don't think. I'm not creative, in general. Even when we used to write papers, Al, I would generally just nick other people's and then as a start point and then edit it, accordingly, because a blank page in terms of writing, struggle with that. I've never done a kind of a creative thinking test to see if I am a divergent thinker, etc. I think I'm going to after this, because I think my thinking is quite linear and quite rigid.
I have to interrupt. Oh yeah, ding. It's unbelievable, this. I don't know how to say this next bit because it physically makes me feel sick. James, your metacognition is terrible. Despite being a monstrous bully, there you go, there's your negative. Yeah. I work with James a lot, professionally and with the charity, and Sam as well. And James is unbelievably creative. Even from a blank piece of paper, some of the articles we've written together, you start literally from a blank piece of paper all the time. The images you do for our charity, because you care about it. Whereas you didn't care about the papers. It's not because you're not creative. No. It's because it was fucking boring. Yeah. Honestly,
so
mate,
true.
You're one of the most creative scientists I've ever met. I hate you.
I know. You do all the graphics and everything.
It's unbelievable.
You do the website and everything from scratch.
I'm surprised you tie your own shoelaces with your lack of ability to acknowledge who you are. It's weird.
Okay, I accept that. Very heavy praise, Alex. Sam, what about you? Tell us about your reflections on creative thinking.
First of all, I've done so well, because at the beginning of this section, I noticed how big your microphone is, and every voice in my head was just going, "Look at his microphone! Look at his microphone! It's massive!" And I did not interrupt.
It's just higher than usual. Ding.
Yeah. I'm creative, but I refuse to believe it's because of my ADHD. Like, my ADHD has taken so much away from me. It's not taking this as well. I've got to have some fucking things that are my own, and I don't want my whole personality and everything about me to just be ADHD. Surely there's more to me than that. And I'm creative, and I don't think it's because of my ADHD. I think I'm just a creative person.
For me, that is like massive, I wouldn't say slow clap, but massive clap, because I think that's such a powerful thing to say I genuinely understand people who see positives in their ADHD or who want to see positives in their ADHD. And we've talked a lot about how, particularly with children, framing it as positively as possible is important, because you don't want to point at a child and say, "You've got a disorder, your life's going to be shit."
Tuesday morning, as I call it.
Yeah, yes. But I think it's really important that you might just be good at something. You might just be a creative or artistic person. You might just be good at music. It's not necessarily because of your neurodivergence. And sometimes assigning everything, good or bad, to ADHD takes away something that's you.
It takes away the credit from you, yeah.
Yeah,
give yourself some credit. Don't give ADHD all the credit. It's a fucking wanker.
It is. Very much. Very much. Alex, what about your personal reflections?
Can I shock you?
Go on.
Yeah.
Despite what I just said, I do see positives in my ADHD.
Cool.
I was channeling Alan Partridge then, if you...
Not very well.
I mean my treated and managed ADHD, and specifically I mean my learned response to living with it. I've had to think differently because there's so much I can't do. Mm. I can't sit still and listen. I can't sit still and draw easily. Even when I really, really want to, I can't. It's not that I don't want to, I do. I wasn't able to do that in school. I wasn't able to do that at university. I wasn't able to do that during my PhD. And so as a professional educator, who was, frankly, I was considered quite creative in my teaching methods. What was that, James? You've won national awards. Yeah, I have. that was because, fucking that hell. Was honestly because, and this sounds like a humble bug, it was because traditional methods were absolutely fucking useless for me. So they were. Mm. It was meaningless to teach in the same way as everybody else because I didn't learn like that. So I taught how I learned and it seems to have worked. I think that in reality, whether you have ADHD or not, applying creativity to is really, really difficult. And it's more hard work. I read once that the key to being a good writer is that you have to write.
It's more hard work, grammatically correct. And I don't normally pick up on this because obviously I'm shit at grant. Don't defend this by pretend. Really? It's more hard work to be creative.
Yeah, there's an implied comparative. So more
hard
work.
You can't say it's harder work.
No, you can say it's more hard work.
I obviously don't know. I obviously don't
than
know.
Than doing something else I left out.
I've obviously got it wrong. Well done, James.
Well done,
somebody's going to write in and prove I'm wrong, and I will ignore that letter. The upshot is that I didn't think I could write comedy, and clearly I can't. And James, when we write our, we write scripts, we write talks, or I add one sentence to yours. They're funny, and everyone says they're funny, and we spend fucking ages thinking about a single joke sometimes. Mm. And it's hard work, but we do it because we like it. Whereas writing something creatively that we didn't care about, like our papers, never going to happen. Mm. I think creative is hard work for humans, and we're all creative creatures. That's what I bloody think.
Wow. There was a compliment somewhere in there. I was on my phone for most of that, so I didn't really hear. Anyway.
Yeah, you could tell. It was clear.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, it's time for the greatest game ever, and that is what's least James Lost Forgotten or Mislaid Shut Up this week. You've got two choices, Alex. You're 3-2 ahead at the minute, which is really annoying. So your choices are migraines or glasses.
Ooh, entressant, as my dad thinks the French for interesting is, it isn't.
I thought it was.
Migraines, please.
Okay.
Hang on. Well. Are you telling me that that's not? Because learned it as intéressant.
It might be. Maybe he says intéressant. It's definitely wrong and makes me laugh every time. Sorry, Dad. I love you so much.
Right. You want migraines?
Talking
then,
of glasses, James, do you want to take yours off and just let them dangle for us?
Fucking.
Look at that. Ding. Wow. Oh. Although, Sam, be careful what you say to James, or he'll give you a really big fine for bringing your library book back late. Because he looks like a librarian. Very much so.
Oh, good one.
Good one, Al. So you're just mocking my lack of working memory, so I've had to buy the strings you put on glasses. But amazing. Migraines, did you say?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ironically, after last week's subject of headaches and migraines with ADHD, I've had a couple of migraines since. And there's a reason that these migraines were so disruptive, and it's related to obviously me forgetting to do stuff. So, firstly, did I forget to take my preventative supplements? Al? Secondly, did I forget when I had a migraine to take my triptan, which is the medication that takes it away in about 2 hours? Or thirdly, did I forget to put my ridiculous cold hat in the freezer, which you put over your head and it cools your head down? It feels just lovely when you got a migraine. Which of those three?
I think that it's not supplements because they're a suppository and you'd never forget that. I don't think it's triptans because I don't think it's triptans because this isn't an insult, I'm afraid, because you wouldn't forget that, would you? It's just immediately as it comes on. So I think it's your stupid fucking cold hat. That's what I think. But I can see
it's
in your smug face.
It's three all. It's three all. It's three all. Thank God. No, So we've been sharing this on Insta this week. There are supplements that have an evidence base that to prevent migraines, magnesium, coenzyme Q, and riboflavin taken collectively, and they have helped reduce my migraines, but I just stopped taking them. Yes, Alex.
What sort of companies might sell those supplements who might want to sponsor a charity based podcast?
we can look into it, can't we? Certainly.
It's evidence based.
Yeah, but the take-home message is you lost. It's 3-2. I'm really happy. We'll be back in part three for some top tippics.
See you in a bit. Spectrum.
Trumpet.
What are you doing now?
One.
Are you okay?
Welcome back to episode 78 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. We are talking about creativity and creativeness. Sam's lost it because I mess with James just before I bring us in every time.
Ding.
Yeah. As always, with in part three, James is spunk trumping, Sam's doing top tippics, and I'm going to say something useful. Who shall we start with? Shall we start with James? What have you got for us?
Oh, you be you. That's my advice. If you genuinely feel that your ADHD is a strength, if you think that you're a creative thinker because of your ADHD, that's brilliant. You know, it's great. I would love to have any idea if I'm creative or not. And if that was because of my ADHD, I would have one positive thing to say my ADHD had brought me. And I think it's important for people to have their own view on their ADHD. This is something that we talk about often, and that is the breadth of functionality through the ADHD community, the breadth of external success, and the breadth of just quality of life is very broad. So at one end, you're going to have your musicians, your artists, your actors and comedians and chefs who are clearly creative. And then not the other end, but for most of that spectrum, you've probably got people who are either just my fidget rings just gone on the floor, just about, you know, getting through life as many of us do on a day-to-day basis, or people who are struggling even to do that, you know, living in a one-bedroom flat without a job, without a relationship, you know, isolated and hating themselves because of their ADHD. And that's where the really important thing is, that if you think you're a creative thinker, that's great, but don't tell other people with ADHD that ADHD makes them creative thinkers, because that is just going to make them think, well, I'm doing ADHD wrong, obviously, because I'm not. So that's my advice.
I really like
and,
it.
And yeah, go on. I'm trying to find a ring.
A ding.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go next then, I guess. So I think that was really good, actually, what you just said, James. And so I just add that when I say I'm creative and I'm not having it, that it's my ADHD, I'm not having it take that away from me. If you feel that it is your ADHD that makes you creative, then yeah, great. I think I haven't really got anything to add to what James said, so I'm just repeating it in a different way.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that's all we can do, really, isn't it? The I've been told off recently, absolutely correctly, for referring to the ADHD brain, because it's bullshit. There isn't one. We're so wildly different. And ironically, I say that often when we're talking about neuroscience, James, to show like general statistical structural differences, but obviously every single one is different. We always say, don't we, that that when you've met one person with ADHD, you've met one person with ADHD. And it's so true. It's true here. Right. I mean, I don't know how we do tips for being creative. What even is this? It doesn't make sense. The only thing I can do, I think, is give a tip for talking about it. So if someone says they are more creative because of their ADHD, that might be true. And whether it is or not, no one actually knows. And your ADHD or their ADHD is theirs to describe. And that's a fundamental human right. So let's not argue with people who say that at all. What we would argue with is, say, let's say your employer or your university or your family might possibly, and even with good intentions, tell you that you are or should be more creative because of your ADHD, that you should harness it somehow or make the most of it, even if they're trying to be inspiring. As James said, even when people are trying to be inspirational, this can make a lot of us, me, feel like not only have I got ADHD, but like better people sculpt it into a masterpiece and I can't clean my teeth. And so I'm just fucking worthless. So my quick tip is, when someone says that, ask them, oh, brilliant, could you write down specifically what examples of creativity are common to all ADHD people that I can harness, please? It's aggressive, but who cares?
I don't know. That's, I don't it. Think it is. I think also sometimes if you can very gently, not challenge them, but just say, oh, do you think you just could be a creative person? And again, you don't have to do that, but certainly it's an okay thing to talk about that. But you know, not necessarily challenge somebody's self-identity, but sometimes, as we've said, assigning that positive trait to ADHD might take something away from an individual, if you know what I mean.
Do absolutely. And I think that for a lot of people with ADHD to admit that they're talented because they worked hard at something is notoriously difficult. And so to challenge them with their own, you know, we can think what we want, can't we? It's okay. If it hurts you to say I did do a good thing, it's that, then it's okay.
Right. Product recommendation of the week. We don't really have one. It says books, buy a book, because I assume Alex put that in. Well, brilliant. Yeah, just buy a book as a product. Not a book on ADHD, because you won't read it, obviously.
But you will. You will, James. You'll read the first two chapters, tell everyone about it, and then never pick it up again.
I know. I've got two, and I've never opened and bought them when I first got diagnosed.
I've got them underneath my laptop here.
Exactly. Anyway, that was episode 78 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. Got the name right this time, where we talk about ADHD and creativity. If by a miracle you enjoyed this episode and want to support the charity on the link provided, that would help us, because otherwise Sam is going to have to shake a tin outside a Cafe Nero while James and Alex recreate that pottery scene from Ghosts with a Greg sausage roll in a bowl of custard.
Ooh,
Alex, dang. Are you okay? I mean, you wrote that. What's that about, mate?
That was an insane thought. I do apologize.
It really was. Anyway, if you want to get in touch, contact us via our Discord community. It's approaching 2,000 people now, which is great. On the socials at ADHD, at the ADHD Adults. Nearly got it wrong. We'll see you next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, all. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon, klaxon. Big klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon, klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon, big klaxon, trigger warning, klaxon, klaxon.